Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Busby Babes Rooney Rewind podcast. I'm Colin, of course, and today I was joined by Vincent Gumsey, a fellow writer at the Busby Babe, to talk about Wayne Rooney and Cristiano Ronaldo's historic partnership. Though short-lived it may have been, it's stood the test of time so far as one of the more iconic duos in Manchester United history. They're very fondly remembered for the goals they scored together and for the amazing attacking football that was produced at Old Trafford in those times, especially in these difficult times where there's not such great attacking football at Old Trafford. And we kind of dive into the juxtaposition of the two players and their legacies as both players at individually and at Manchester United, what they were able to achieve, and the difference of their celebrity, as well as the idea of footballing icons themselves. So I hope you enjoy it, and please ignore my cat meowing in the background.
Rooney and Ronaldo wait in the center. Rooney! Magical Manchester United! It defies description. How about sensational?
We're back with the Rooney Rewind, and I've got Vincent Gumsey here with me. How's it going, Vincent?
Good. How are you, Colin?
I'm fine. It is very hot down in the south, the southern United States, so I'm glad to be in the AC for a while.
Yeah, it's equally as hot up here in DC, so we're all struggling.
I always forget DC is technically the south. It's basically a swamp, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm terrible at geography, so is it... If it's below the Mason-Dixon line, it's probably, it's definitely the South.
I'm a historian, so I should know this. I think they put it in Virginia to kind of appease the South rather than keeping it in New York so that they would pass the Constitution. So now that history lesson is out of the way history.
That's what everyone came here for.
we'll just transition from United States history to Wayne Rooney history. Today we're here to talk a little bit about the Cristiano Ronaldo-Wayne Rooney partnership. It was the iconic partnership of that era of Manchester United in the late noughties. But, of course, this podcast is the Rooney Rewind, not the Ronaldo Rewind. So we're going to focus a little bit more on the Wayne Rooney side. But I guess, Vincent, first talk a little bit about your Manchester United fandom and why we figured that this was a good episode for the two of us to talk.
Yeah, totally. So obviously, you know, we both contribute to the Busby Babe. And for me, my fandom kind of started in, I want to say around that, but when United was really picking up that treble winning era period, late 90s, early 2000s. And I remember growing up, I have three little brothers, and I remember my oldest brother, he's an Arsenal fan. So I learned all of my, I guess, football knowledge from him. However, I just knew as much as they were good, I really much preferred the style in which Manchester United played more. And that's just based on me watching Premier League matches with him. And so I just kind of took an interest in them. And of course, I was playing football myself. And so that's kind of how it started. It wasn't really like me watching like a sensational goal and deciding. I just was like, yeah, I like this team and I'm going to start rooting for them. And then obviously, of course, as I continued cheering for Manchester United, I continued realizing why I love them so much. And that's because it's not only a dynasty, but they essentially changed the way we think about football in the Premier League and arguably international, given the fact that a lot of our former players have gotten success now stateside, and of course who have gone on to leave Old Trafford have done incredible things at other clubs as well.
Yeah, it's nice to think about a time in Manchester United history where their style of play was attractive and got new fans.
Right. when you're like, oh wait, this is great, like I actually we're actually doing a good job here.
It's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's kind of like how it started.
Okay. I kind of came in around the same time. I think maybe 10 years old when Rooney signed with Manchester United. I've talked about this on previous podcasts, but just for the context of this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it seems like we kind of came in around similar times. And, of course, around this time was when the team started moving towards Wayne Rooney and Cristiano Ronaldo. What was your first impression of the two of them at Manchester United?
So my first impression of the two of them, I mean, granted, like, we know them individually, and so I think that's really cool that we can experience now them on an individual level. But my impression of the two of them was obviously based on just fitness levels. It's a lot different. You know, we see Ronaldo as someone who is just very built and very defined, and I think that for him, that's what essentially gets him, like, that's what makes him so skilled. And I think with Rooney, his fitness level, of course, is great too, because you have to be at a great level to play for United. But I think that it is for them, like, I was really interested to see how they would play together, because they just have both different styles, and, you know, they both attack, but I think Rooney is someone who plays the field a lot more, and Ronaldo plays up top, and he does so brilliantly at it. So maybe he doesn't need to cover the field, or the pitch, I should say, a lot more. And so, but for them, they both came around in at the same time, and I was genuinely impressed. I thought Sir Alex did a wonderful job in grabbing both of them, and I knew from the first time that they did, in fact, play together, that we were building something special, not only individually for them, but also it was the start of Manchester United's real resurgence and being a top quality squad.
Yeah, that your point about fitness, I think with Cristiano Ronaldo especially, is it's odd to see, I guess, now, because we see so many players who are kind of that mold of, you know, obsessed with working out and are in really good shape, but they don't necessarily turn out the same way, whereas Cristiano Ronaldo's obsession with being in the best shape and being the best competitor he could be is what led to him becoming such a great goal scorer, and we really saw that around this time.
Yeah, and I think that's when he came to United, you know, as a teenager, and so I think we kind of saw him grow, not only as a player on the pitch, but I think also he matured and his body kind of responded to the demands it took to be, you know, playing for the best Premier League side at the time. And so, you know, that perhaps a obsession began when he was at United, but it's definitely maintained. Whereas with Rooney, it's kind of gotten a little bit of like a roller coaster. And I think from there, we've obviously have seen a lot of people, you know, how he's struggled to get back into that shape. And I think that's what clearly separates them right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that Ronaldo's career has been elongated by his effort and the amount of work he's put into maintaining his physique, whereas Wayne Rooney, I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo doesn't drink at all, and I think he's kept that since he was about 20 years old, whereas Wayne Rooney, obviously, we've talked about that. Caught out drinking a few nights by Sir Alex and given the suspension, and recently, even in D.C., it's continued. But when they were both still in their youth, they kind of came together at the perfect time for Manchester United, and one thing that Brent and I talked about on the last episode was when Rooney came in, he was already sort of a star, whereas Ronaldo definitely had eyes on him when he came to Manchester United because he was given the number 7 the summer that David right. Beckham left. But he wasn't necessarily given the same expectations that Wayne Rooney had, so he kind of grew into his star role, whereas Wayne Rooney was already, I guess, considered at that level when he came to the club.
Right.
So I think the era we talked about, Brent and I, was the 2006 through 2009. Rooney and Ronaldo have been playing together for 2 years, and the World Cup incident happens in the summer of 2006, where Cristiano Ronaldo allegedly gets Wayne Rooney sent off after stepping on Ricardo Carvalho's manhood.
Right. Mm-hmm. Totally remember that. Yeah.
In the World Cup quarterfinal. And the question is whether or not they can play together again. So Ronaldo is immediately linked with exit from Old Trafford to go to Real Madrid at that time. Wayne Rooney seen as the player that they're obviously going to keep instead. I guess what were your thoughts about that when that happened?
Yeah, so I remember even with that was probably that 2016 World Cup, as you said, right? Not
2006, yeah.
I'm like, not 2016, that was 3 years ago, 2006, yeah. that 2006 World Cup, that was undoubtedly, for me, one of the more memorable World Cups that in my lifetime, I should say, because that's when I was really finding my groove as a football fanatic and really truly understanding the players and how they work together now with their national team. And so, you know, I think it was a tough decision. And, you know, I think it ended up working out well in United's favor, of course, because it would have been different the move would have been orchestrated and Rooney would have, I guess, experienced some sort of a slump, but we didn't get the Rooney slump until a decade later in 2016. So I think that, you know, it was tough the way that it panned out, but it was long forgotten the minute that Rooney eventually, you know, became captain and became the Manchester United legend that we all now love and respect.
Yeah, and I think really it kind of left everyone's minds, particularly at Old Trafford, because the England media around the England team is always going to talk about whatever. But at Old Trafford, I think the rumors of them having a falling out after that were kind of dispelled immediately on opening day, because Rooney and Ronaldo both scored in the 5-0 win over Fulham, I think. And Ronaldo's goal was assisted by Rooney.
Right.
that famous moment of, or the commentary is certainly friends again now. And that really kickstarted a season of, kind of superstar equilibrium between the two of them. They had the same amount of goals and both of them carried Manchester United to their first Premier League title in years.
Yeah, of course. And I think it also was, you know, even though after that, Ronaldo did leave for Madrid, shortly after, I think that was kind of a equal send off for both of them. It was like, you know, you're leaving, but we're not leaving. You're leaving with a title and you're leaving with, some sort of, I guess, imprint, not only in the city of Manchester, but at Old Trafford and with the fan base. And, you know, that's kind of what has been for the both of them now. And granted, people are probably more attached to Rooney than they are to Ronaldo. But nonetheless, that from there, I remember thinking, all right, well, I guess you can leave now. you know, and at that time it was world record fee of like 84 million, I believe. And so it's crazy to think now that it's almost nearly tripled that, to think that people would leave for that amount. But, you know, it was from that, at that time, so memorable that there was so much pomp and circumstance that it kind of allowed Rooney to shine on his own. And I'm not saying that he couldn't have done that if Ronaldo was still there, but now thinking back at it, you know, Rooney was able to come into his own as that Manchester United player and Ronaldo the same at Madrid. And to say that they haven't found success, individually in that, we would be lying to say that.
Yeah, I guess that is kind of the big question of their partnership, because obviously now Cristiano Ronaldo being considered one of the greatest players of all time, whereas Wayne Rooney's not in that conversation, but still has a comfortable legacy as one of the best Manchester United players of all time. Do you think that maybe Wayne Rooney's accepting of a little bit of a smaller role after Ronaldo's goals started taking off, as more of a supporter of that rather than the lead goal scorer, would have continued if Ronaldo had stayed? Or do you think Wayne Rooney still would have scored as many goals as he ended up doing at Manchester United?
You know, it's really tough to tell, but you know, because we obviously weren't able to ever get that opportunity, but I don't believe that Rooney would have been able to achieve that record had Ronaldo still been there. Because, I mean, think about it now. Ronaldo has already, in his professional career at 34 years old, he's scored, is it now 500 goals?
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. Then,
yeah. So he's, yeah, so I don't think he would have been able to do that. And that, like I said, is a testament to not only his fitness level and his drive, but, you know, like I mentioned earlier, Ronaldo is that striker, and he's that striker that Sir Alex said, okay, you're number seven, you're going to be the one that will lead our team to points, to trophies. And Rooney was that all around, all over the pitch player that the minute that Ronaldo left, there became that opportunity for him to kind of transition into that main striker role. And he did it so beautifully, but I don't believe that he would have been able to achieve that kind of feat had Ronaldo had even been there for even at least two more years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, idealistically, we would have liked to see the two of them together just for the sake of Manchester United. Because, I mean, any team is always better with Cristiano Ronaldo on the side. But I guess in terms of Rooney's legacy, that's kind of a fork in the road that was thrown in when I started talking with Neil and Brent. They both kind of see that era of their partnership with Ronaldo and Rooney as kind of the best years of Rooney's career just because of the success that Manchester United achieved, whereas Rooney really started racking up the goals the next few seasons after Ronaldo left and the burden was placed on his shoulders. So I guess what do you really see as Wayne Rooney's prime then as a Manchester United player? Do you think it's that partnership with Cristiano Ronaldo where it was kind of the two of them as a unit? Or do you think it's when he kind of grows into himself and becomes his own player?
I think it's the latter. It's him growing into himself because for once the conversation wasn't split between the two. Rooney was the one that was getting a lot of that attention. And that's really great for him because he definitely deserved it. And with Ronaldo, as soon as he went to Madrid, the focus was all on him. And now with him being in Italy, the focus is now all on him. And I think with Rooney, his prime years became when he was the team. He was the person Manchester United was building around. And it was evident, you know, I've always even thought as well, he always adopted sort of that director of football mentality as well, because I do believe he had a way of getting these players to Old Trafford following Ronaldo's exit. And it's not that, let's be real, they were still winning trophies after Ronaldo left. So I believe that Rooney really took advantage of not only the position that United were in when Ronaldo left, like we have just come off several victories. We've gotten some trophies that we've added to our trophy case. Let me capitalize off that and keep the momentum going. And that's exactly what he did. And, you know, up until Sir Alex retired, we were still, of course, picking up trophies and we were still being considered the best team in England.
Yeah, and like Robin Van Persie, when he transferred from Arsenal to Manchester United, one of the things he said was that one of the reasons he chose Man United was because he wanted to play with Wayne Rooney. He had developed that reputation of not just being one of the best strikers in the Premier League, but being such a great strike partner as well. He's, I think, second behind Ryan Giggs in assists of all time at Manchester United. And
right.
We saw him produce almost as many assists as he did goals that season with Robin Van Persie.
And I think that's a testament as well. I don't want to use this term too much because we use it, you know, stateside with LeBron James, when we say GM LeBron, but you know, he kind of operated like that, like I said, as a director of football, and it worked out well. I think he really understood the needs of Manchester United, having already cemented his role there. And especially when he became skipper, he understood and knew that this is what United needed to be successful, and this is what they needed to maintain this legacy. And he completely took that by the reins and produced not only a winning team, but a team that a lot of people will say, this is the lineup I think about when I think this is peak Manchester United.
Yeah, so this is a little off topic, but do you have an all-time Manchester United 11?
Oh. That's so tough to say. I always like think about that, and I think my mind always changes. I definitely know that in goal, I'm not gonna lie, this might be unpopular, but I do like Schmeichel.
Yeah.
So he'll definitely be in goal for me. Up top. I'm probably jumping the gun on this, so spoiler alert, but my favorite Manchester United player of all time, also, of course, the person who I think eclipsed, like, footballing and who I could be considered my hero, is Eric Cantona.
Yep, more on that later.
More on that later. But I'll pick him. And then, definitely in the middle, obviously, Scholes. I want to say, it's just so tough because in my head I'm like, oh yeah, Van Nistelrooy. Then I'm like, oh wait a minute. Like, I'm like, wait, but what about Giggs?
Or what about Wayne Rooney?
You want to make sure. Yeah, exactly. And then, but I definitely know in the back, Ferdinand, Neville, Evra. And that's definitely like that would be my bag. Not quite deciding on who would round that out, but most certainly those three. I think Evra was just one of the more well-rounded defenders that United needed at the time. And it's tough because while he kind of like has bounced around to so many teams since then. You always just remember how much he loves the club and how much he still supports United that you think like, wow, like he was an excellent player. And that can be said, of course, with the rest of the, aforementioned names. But yeah, that's tough. I might like maybe come August, I'll have to write something about that for the Busby Babe.
Oh yeah, well, we can get more into it at another day. I'm sure that would be some nice summer content to pitch to Brent on Slack.
Oh sure, if you're listening, Brent, like let me handle this.
we'll do a round table on our Manchester United all-time 11s. I'm sure they'd look very different.
Right.
So I guess bring this back into the topic of the podcast with Rooney and Ronaldo. What do you think the celebrity or the different respective celebrity status of the two of them has to do with their Manchester United legacies or just their player legacies in general? Because Cristiano Ronaldo has definitely evolved. Like you said earlier, bringing up LeBron James is kind of that sort of athlete where he's just a global brand as well as a human being.
Right.
Whereas Wayne Rooney, one of the more popular Manchester United players of all time, obviously our generation looked up to him and admired him a lot, but definitely not on the same level as Cristiano Ronaldo, even maybe when they were at Manchester United together.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I think about this also often because they have both achieved so much success on the pitch, but they've at times have been embattled in controversy off the pitch. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that with Rooney. And for him, it's, obviously, like, self-inflicted, right? Like he is someone who just has a little too much fun and unfortunately has gotten himself in trouble for that, on several occasions. But as of late with Ronaldo, we are seeing a more serious sort of direction of his drama off the pitch. And, to not get into it too much since we're all well aware of what's going on, I think it's really tough because a lot of that in a way, for me, has had me thinking as well about how I see Ronaldo as a player. I never, was upset with him when he left, and I was never someone who was spiteful with him when he ultimately decided that he wanted more for himself, especially because he was still in the prime of his career. But it's tough now because I think about, these accusations, and it's like, yeah, I see you differently because this is something that I think everyone should take seriously. But I think also with their celebrity, you're right. Ronaldo is this brand who's used his name to do everything from jeans to hotels to clothing to everything. And I think with Rooney, he kind of took the more quieter route and just thought, how can I make my impact somewhere else? And went and did this here at DC United. And I've thoroughly enjoyed it for my own sake. But I think, you know, they have both, I think this is the direction that they both decided to do, and I'm happy that they did it, because I don't think that Rooney has always been that kind of superstar athlete, and you could tell by the way that they've been conducting themselves on the pitch. I mean, you know, the goal, from the goal celebrations to the outbursts to, you know, the their following, their fan base, I think it's evident to say that they both, their personalities are so different.
Yeah, the goal celebrations is an interesting point. With Wayne Rooney, it's almost like his bicycle kick, arms out wide, Eric Cantona-style celebration is almost the least modest celebration he's ever done, maybe. Whereas right. Cristiano Ronaldo is, you know, he's developed his own Fortnite dance for every time he scores a goal.
Right, exactly. And there's nothing wrong with that. And of course, I'm not going to be the one. I mean, if I had 500 goals to my name, I'd want to celebrate that too. But I think, you know, it's definitely something to say about the way that they both, I guess, operate. And it's interesting to see how that hasn't even changed. Watching DC United matches here, Rooney is someone who immediately when he scores, he runs like with his teammates and stuff. And I think with Ronaldo, he's always been like individual, me first, I did it, and then we'll celebrate.
I guess that makes them kind of, I guess, the perfect partnership then. From the perspective of Cristiano Ronaldo, somebody who's of the quality of Wayne Rooney, but was so supportive and was willing to take on that role of a supporter once he saw Cristiano Ronaldo was the one who was scoring the goals. I'm not really sure he had that kind of individuality at Real Madrid, but the midfield that they're able to fund is just ridiculous anyway, so it's not like he needed it. But I'm not really sure, maybe stats-wise, you could find a better partner for Cristiano Ronaldo than Wayne Rooney, obviously. I think Benzema scored a ton of goals at Real Madrid as well, but just from the eye test, and obviously I'm biased because I'm doing a podcast about Wayne Rooney, I'm not sure that I've seen a better partnership for the two of them since that era.
No, I don't think so either, and I think that's, and even now speaking now, we, even with our current players, I think a lot of them try to embody that, but the lineup changes so much that it's tough to say that we're ever going to really get that partnership, because for a long time we thought we were going to get it with, you know, Rashford and Martial. However, that's changed between Lukaku and Martial, or Rashford and Lingard, and I think that, you know, we're never going to really get that unless we get those two players that have these kind of conflicting personalities, but in a way it still works.
Yeah. Rashford is, I kind of compared him to Rooney a little bit in the first episode, just because Wayne Rooney was the leader in the locker room at Manchester United and England when Rashford was coming up, and that was the player he looked up to, but it's interesting.
And also keep in mind, Rashford he got the number 10 shirt from Rooney after he left.
Yeah. But God, that's the stuff that kills me as a United fan. Like, I love that. I'll leave that up.
It's like the symbolism of it all.
Yeah. It's like, he was his mentor. He's taking him under his wing, and now he's giving him his jersey number. But I almost see Rashford's like style of play and what he's tried to emulate as kind of a hybrid of the two of them almost. Is he, if you watch the way he strikes the ball, that kind of knuckleball strike that he has developed, it's definitely of the Cristiano Ronaldo mold as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, and I would also add to that when it comes to set pieces or free kicks, he definitely embodies that more of the Rooney type, where it's full body and he wants to get that curve on it that we know Rooney can do. But I think when it comes to finishing and actually, you know, coming off of a counterattack or, you know, a cross or something, he embodies that Ronaldo, because he wants to add a certain flair to his goal scoring. And I think that's great as well. And that's why I'm saying, like, I don't really think, you know, Rashford should definitely stay, because we're probably going to get a lot more of that development with him being so young still. There's plenty of time for him to either decide if he wants to be a Ronaldo or a Rooney too.
Yeah, and it's great to see somebody like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer come in, someone who's so focused on man management rather than just implementing a system. I think that's exactly what Marcus Rashford needs. And we saw as soon as Solskjaer came in, he went on that goal scoring streak. It obviously faded towards the end of the season, but I think we really saw the kind of potential that he could produce consistently at Manchester United.
Yeah, and it kind of gives us hope. And I think, like, even with when we did our player assessments for the end of the year, I think we all, you know, generally those who contributed to the Rashford piece, you know, we all thought there is still potential with him. He just has to understand what kind of player that he wants to be. And it's not that he's going through so much of an identity crisis, but I think he's trying to determine how he wants to be, like, what kind of player he wants the fans to see him as. You want him to see him as that sort of quiet player that Rooney is, or that boisterous, loud player that Ronaldo is. And it's tough because our fan base, as much as we are committed and dedicated and fun and lively, we're also, we can scrutinize just as easy as well. And that's always a tough thing. So I hope that he'll eventually find that, especially this year, because we've got to start winning something.
Yeah. That's another reason why I was so glad that Rooney was in the team and was the captain of the team that Rashford broke into, because arguably, like, there have been people who've made their debut and scored and then kind of faded out afterwards, but we haven't really seen somebody break through and stay a part of the team the way Rashford has since Wayne Rooney.
Yeah. And I think he, and given the fact that Rashford has spoken so highly of him, I do believe he'll probably adopt that Wayne Rooney mindset. And that's because he had someone, like you said, to look up to. And even as, and it's not that he, I'm sure, you know, he's probably communicated or at some point will meet with or speak with Ronaldo. There's nothing like playing on the same pitch as someone who was your age when he was starting out and came to this great club. And, you know, I would be happy to see people who are, were our age when we first were introduced to Rooney, now be introduced to Rashford and see just how good of a person he can become.
Yeah. Something you had brought up earlier in the podcast, you had said people maybe remember Wayne Rooney more fondly than Cristiano Ronaldo at Manchester United, because of the fact that Rooney did stay where Ronaldo left Real Madrid. I thought that was an interesting observation, whereas me, I'm kind of plugged into Twitter a lot more now as a trying to get into football writing with the Busby Babe, and it seems like a lot of people or Manchester United fan accounts will remember Cristiano Ronaldo whenever he does something spectacular, which is almost on a weekly basis. But these are kind of the same people that were saying, oh, we need to get rid of Rooney, he's way past it. And Cristiano Ronaldo has almost, it's like his Manchester United legacy was frozen in time the moment he left because of what he was able to produce. Whereas Wayne Rooney, we got to see that decline. We got to see him become an older player whose legs weren't the same and he wasn't capable of producing the same way he used to. What, I guess, how do you think that affects a player's legacy at a club? Because to me, when Cristiano Ronaldo left, I was very upset. I mean, this is one of the best players potentially ever, and he's leaving for a club that has been achieving much less than Manchester United had been. Because Real Madrid had won La Liga a couple times, but they were nowhere near winning the Champions League, whereas Manchester United had just been to the semifinal four times out of the last 6 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough because, you know, in a way, we always say leave, you know, it's like the Batman quote, because that's my favorite movie, you know, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become a villain. And I think that's literally how it was with Ronaldo. He knew that he's like, I've done my job. I gave them 6 good years. Now off I go. They can't hate me because I'm giving them a trophy before I leave. And here you go. And I think that's really difficult because with Rooney, we were able to witness that, but I don't think at all that it's going to tarnish his legacy. And I don't think at all that when I look back at it and eventually the day that Rooney evidently decides I'm done, and that could be after his, you know, few years here in DC are finished. But I think I'm still going to look at him and think this, was the best, one of the best players to come out of Manchester United. And I think the reason why that's so difficult for us to see is because we saw the frustrations of Rooney, and we saw the off the pitch drama, and that affected him on the pitch. So and then the era of social media, we are able to live those things out in real time, and so is T. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, he frustrated, of course, the fan base in his last couple years at Old Trafford, but it doesn't mean that, for me at least, it doesn't tarnish the more than decades worth of contributions that he gave. And to beat a record held by one of the other great Manchester United players, and to do it on a perfect free kick like he did, I think that, for me, I was like, you can leave now, that's fine. But yeah, you know, I think, like, and it's tough because with Ronaldo, he's not, and we're short, near under a decline. So it's not like we can even say, oh, he went to Madrid and declined. No, he left Madrid for another great club. Whereas Rooney left and then went down a step and eventually ended up in the States. And I think a lot of people see it as like, that's where he's going to retire, and that's what you do when you're on your way out or whatnot. But, you know, Ronaldo played it strategically and left when he knew people would still see him as the good guy. Whereas Rooney, for him, I commend him for taking that risk and being someone who thought, yeah, I'm going to give it all I got until I truly can't give it anymore.
Yeah. And, just a year after Ronaldo leaving, there was that period where we've talked about this on the podcast as well, that Wayne Rooney supposedly turned down the contract offer and was set for a transfer to Real Madrid or Manchester City or whoever paid for him. And then a few days later, he goes and signs the contract. But that is something that kind of tarnished his legacy a little bit in the eyes of other Manchester United fans. Neil and Brent both looked at that as a moment where their opinions of Rooney had changed a little bit. And that's obviously a fair assumption, or that's a fair criticism to make of a player. Just that summer, me, a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, had seen the greatest basketball player of all time leave for South Beach.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, but I mean, for me, I'm a LeBron fan, so I was instantly from Cleveland to South Beach.
So you were fine with that, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, where are we going, LeBron? Where are we going?
it's funny, we talked about LeBron twice on this podcast now, because last week I brought up Dwayne Wade and LeBron as kind of a Rooney-Ronaldo comparison to Brent.
Oh, well, I mean, let's be real. Like, I will never not bring up LeBron James in any moment I can. Like, I definitely think he is an unequivocal GOAT. So if I can bring him up, that's the hill I'm willing to die on, and I will do that in the name of LeBron James.
I feel similarly about Wayne Rooney.
Minus the whole Liverpool thing, of course.
Oh, gosh. We don't have to talk about that.
Yeah, we can glaze over that.
In business with the Boston Red Sox, another team that I despise.
Yeah, oh, for sure. You know, everything that's happened the last week aside, the Boston Red Sox can kick rocks.
I love Big Papi, actually, so, best wishes to him. So I guess we'll get down to the last few questions if you're ready.
Of course.
We talked about Cantona. You'd mentioned him a little bit. First question will be easy then, because who is your footballing hero and why?
I mean, so that's the thing. It's always, so like I said earlier when we first started the podcast, the very first player that I was ever introduced to in that footballing world was Thierry Henry. And by my older brother. Like, he's 6 years older than me, so I remember he had a big, like, 6-foot Henry poster in his room, and I would just watch videos of him, so I appreciate him, but let's not pretend like Eric Cantona isn't just like a Manchester United god. And he is someone who I've completely been enamored with since his playing days and after that, and I would love to see him have a role at Old Trafford now. But, you know, I think he's done such a great job of maintaining that love for the club. And I think that's how I judge, like, my favorite footballing heroes or my favorite players' heroes are people who understand the impression that they left on this club, and they still champion that decades later.
And Cantona kind of did it, and like we mentioned earlier with the leaving his legacy frozen in time, the time he chose to retire, he was 31 years old, and players just don't really do that, especially when they're as good as Cantona was. But he left, you know, of the 5 years he was there, they won 6 or 7 trophies. Mm-hmm. It was like this perfect legacy. He's still revered as one of the greatest Man United players of all time, even though he was only there 5 years.
And I think that's really great. I think that's a testament of that. And, you know, we have players now who we think have overstayed their welcome, and we even in the past as well. But I think, you know, there was such a flair and a confidence about Cantona that was so fun to witness. And he was so forward thinking with how he kind of like set the blueprint and set the, I guess, the blueprint for how modern footballing should be played, because for him, it was not even the way that he scored, but in the manner that he would score. It would be on a counterattack from a cross in a header. And then right after that, he would just like kind of just stand there and be like, yeah, that was me, you know, take it all in. And that's someone who definitely walks the walk and is so confident and honestly truly loved playing for Manchester United. He, in the 5 years he was there, you could tell every time he stepped on that pitch that he was genuinely excited to play. And you can't say that a lot about players back then and even players now, but he was someone who really took advantage of the half a decade he spent there. And he really trusted Sir Alex, and I think they trusted each other. And, you know, Eric Hansen is also the other person I'm going to be willing to die on a hill from, because he's great.
Yeah. I would love to do a podcast about, where I just sit down with football fans and talk about who's their favorite player, what got them into football. And I think Eric Cantona is such a common answer for that from Manchester United fans, because he was, I guess maybe the comparable player now would be Zlatan. He's just this ultra confident player who's, he just knows how good he is and is able to show it consistently. In a way that's kind of different from Cristiano Ronaldo, because it's not something that turns people off with how cocky he is. You know, he just attracts greatness.
He really does. And he's so, I think, loved still by so many of the fan base that, you know, if he wanted to come back and have a role at some capacity at Old Trafford, he would be totally welcome with open arms. And, you know, I'm not saying that that wouldn't be the case for Ronaldo when he eventually retires, but I don't really think that's something that he's planning on doing. And I think Cantona really did a great job. I mean, I guess I need to ask you who your footballing hero is, because now I'm nosy. So I'm like, I want to know who yours is.
Oh, well, spoiler alert, it's Wayne Rooney. The first player, though, is Wayne Rooney. He became my favorite player of all time. And the reason that I love Manchester United so much is definitely because of those teams from 2006 to 2012 or 13, where Wayne Rooney was at the front of this. But my first favorite player, I guess, was Ruud van Nistelrooy. I'm not sure I've ever seen a better natural striker play football. He's just an incredible talent. And at Manchester United, for 3 or 4 pretty difficult years, you could always count on him to score goals. And just score bags of goals, really, 20, 30 a season.
Yeah.
And I love those. Like, for some reason, I didn't like number 9 for a striker. I always wanted number 10, and I think it's because of Ruud van Nistelrooy. So when Rooney switched to 10, I think that just helped him along in becoming my favorite player ever in my eyes.
Yeah. I think that's such a great way to look at it as well, because I think clinically, Van Nistelrooy was someone who was like, he didn't arrive to Manchester United with the same sort of pomp and circumstance that a lot of the players who we've discussed have. And he just kind of like fell into his own, and he was someone who could adjust and adapt to any sort of lineup that Sir Alex kind of threw at them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think now I think I mentioned this a little bit in one of my pieces I wrote several weeks back about how he would be great also as a director of football or as someone who is just here at Old Trafford, because he really understood the game, but he understood it in a way that was, he didn't make it complicated. And I think, and I love Rooney, but I think sometimes he made the game a little too complicated for him. And that could be because of him just trying to find his own, I guess, signature and his own style. But for Van Nistelrooy, it just became so natural for him. Like you said, he was such a natural striker that, you know, you could really see, like, he didn't really know what he wanted, but, like, we just knew that we were going to expect greatness from him.
Yeah. And I was trying to think, I think it was his last season, or it was against Middlesbrough or Charlton or one of the lesser teams, but I was trying to find goals highlights of him and Rooney playing together. And there was a great one where Rooney kind of lobs the ball in from just the edge of the 18 area. Van Nistelrooy chests it and then immediately turns and bangs it into the net. I just don't know if, like, even Wayne Rooney, as much as I love him as a striker, like, if he tried to do that, it would look really, really awkward. or it would look like he was trying too hard. Whereas if, you know, if Van Nistelrooy does it, it's just natural. It's just smooth. It's meant to be.
Yeah. And I think that's, and you knew it was going in. And that's, you know, that's really tough because with, there are a few strikers that you can say, Manchester United or not, that you can say, yep, the minute they are in goal scoring range, you know it's going to go in. And you can't always really say that, at least now these days, about Rooney. But, you know, back then, you could say that about him, arguably. Van Nistelrooy, Ronaldo, Cantona, like all those people. There was like, they just, and they gave so much confidence to the fan base. Like, we knew, yep, like, give them the ball and we're going to get magic.
Yeah, it's no wonder we're spoiled. I mean, within 20 years, we had four or five of the best goal scorers to ever play the game.
That's why we're all so hurt now. We're all like, man, this is really tough. Like, we're going on year five now of us, like, really, truly struggling.
Yeah. Life and times are not going well at Manchester United.
No, not at all.
Yeah. But it's nice to have a nostalgia podcast where you can just look back into the good times.
No, I know. This is great. I know. This is a great idea that you had, Colin, because I definitely think that, you know, this helps me think, like, all right, we don't have, when I think about, like, great United mids or great United defenders, Chris Smalling is not in that category.
Gosh. At least, like, and we're going off on a tangent about, like, new era Manchester United, but it, like, David Moyes still had Nemanja Vidic, Rio Ferdinand, and Patrice Evra. Like, as old as they were, and as, they were getting exposed, and they weren't that great, but, like, if they had stuck around with Van Gaal or Mourinho, maybe they would have been better. I don't know. Like, he just forced out three of the greatest defenders to ever play for the club. In favor of, like, Phil Jones and Chris Smalling.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's disgusting. And, you know, and I can't even discuss it because it's like, and then you have the likes of, like, Ashley Young, who we can't even, like, determine. I also think, like, what position are we getting? What Ashley Young are we getting today? I mean, we say this now and then come August, that'll be our starting lineup. So the jokes write themselves.
Yeah. Just for the context of the summer, we're in the middle of Aaron Wan-Bissaka to Manchester United rumors. We just exited the Matista leaked to Manchester United rumor phase.
He's PSG, right?
I have no idea. I'll believe it when I see him sign a contract somewhere.
Yeah. I need to see him hold up, like, the actual kit. But yeah. Wan-Bissaka would be, oh my goodness, I would cry. Like, that would mean that for maybe we might be able to beat Brighton or Cardiff.
We'll win the League Cup or something. Yeah.
We'll at least middle of the table. Like, we can work our way up to, like, the City and the Liverpool in the second half of next year's campaign.
Yeah. Well, for now, we'll win the League Cup and win the Europa League, get back in the Champions League. It's baby steps.
You made me forget that we're in the Europa League, so thank you for that.
You're welcome. So, Vinciane, to close out this podcast, what do you think Wayne Rooney's Manchester United legacy will be?
Yeah, I think his main legacy will be that he broke the all-time scoring record. So if that doesn't get him some sort of something at Old Trafford, it will be a crime. But I think his legacy just is someone who wanted the best for the club and was willing to stay with the club until he could no longer give it his all. And he'll be known as a respected player, as a well-liked player, and as a player who kind of adapted to the changing times. I mean, he was around for the best of United and the worst of United. And I think he'll be known as someone who genuinely just had the best interest of the club in mind. And no matter if that means that, even if, you know, he finishes out his tenure in football stateside, I think he'll be most remembered for the 13 years that he gave to Manchester United. And I will always thank him for that.
I guess I want to thank you again for listening. And I want to thank my guest, Vince Yan, for a great conversation on Wayne Rooney and Cristiano Ronaldo. And be sure to keep an eye out for her work, as well as everyone else's work, at thebusbybabe.com. of SB Nation's Manchester United site. I'd also like to thank our editor-in-chief, Brent Maximin, again for his support of this podcast, and you, the listener, for tuning in. And be sure to like, share, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to them. And you should know that because you're listening to it right now. We'll be putting out some new content as transfer rumors begin to, I guess, turn into fact. I don't know. Hopefully, in the case of Manchester United, they'll be turning into fact soon. Daniel James has been confirmed, and a few more deals appear to be in the works. So Matt and I will be back in studio the first chance we get to go over some of the transfer rumors and some of the transfer polls that you guys have voted on at the Busby Babe. And lastly, but certainly not least, I want to thank Francisco Valladares again for doing the incredible artwork for the Rooney Rewind podcast. And he also has a new article up on the Busby Babe about Manchester United youth players coming through at the moment and who he expects to see next season break into the first team squad. So be sure to check that out and keep an eye out for all Manchester United content coming out of the Busby Babe. I've been Colin. I'll see you next time.